Well, as we begin this morning, I want to remind you of an old expression. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I've heard that expression a number of times from my father over the last couple years to combat the efforts of his children and grandchildren to get him to use technology. Yeah, technology, my dad is just anti-technology. And I'm not talking, you know, crazy modern stuff. I'm talking like 2004 technology, a laptop computer. The internet, I don't know if you've heard of that, but something called the internet, he refuses to even try. Email, perhaps. Online bill pay. A smartphone. He claims he just wants a dumb phone. Now, my father is very, very smart. He was an engineer, a bridge engineer, when he was working in his profession, but he's told us he's preparing for his second career. He's preparing at age 82 to start a second career. See, his claim is when all the machines crash, he's going to be able to make a lot of money teaching people how to write paper checks, how to use stamps, how to dial a phone, how to change TV channels without a fancy voice remote. So he's got plans. He's all set. Now, despite the fact that he sounds like an anti-change curmudgeon, he's really not. He's just messing with us. See, my dad is actually really good at handling change. For the last 2.5 years, I've walked beside him and been amazed and encouraged. He's been an inspiration to me as he has gone through some pretty major changes that he didn't necessarily even want or welcome. If you remember, 2.5 years ago, my parents were hit by a drunk driver. Our mom was killed instantly, and our dad was pretty badly injured. And Dad, from that point on, showed an amazing ability to handle change and to handle this new reality in which he had found himself. Not something he ever wanted, but he had to, you know, with a lot of help, clear out the house and sell the home he had lived in for decades with my mom. Move to a different town where he got an apartment, make new friends, build a new life, build a new routines, new normal. Now, I've been encouraged by some in our own church family who have done that. I've walked beside some that have gone through that most terrible of loss and have to rebuild life at an age that I don't know how they do it. Change is difficult so often for all of us. Change is difficult. And especially those ones that come as an unwelcome change, something you didn't want or expect. Been through that myself recently. This past year, I had to learn to work with a second guide dog. And I remember when I went off to training in January, I was so thankful that the training had been moved up 8 months, and that was a huge answer to prayer. But I was very uneasy and anxious about this whole process. I wasn't sure if I could do it again. I had such a great working relationship with my first guide, with Lansing, and I had such a close rapport with him, and I just wasn't sure if I could trust another dog in such a way, and if I could bond with a dog in such a way. And so that first time when I went off to that day of training in San Rafael, I remember being nervous, being anxious, being upset, being afraid, and I thought to myself, wait, I memorized some scripture that could help me here. In fact, there's one just for this moment. This is my command. Do not be afraid or discouraged. In fact, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I was being afraid. I was being discouraged. And then the end of that verse that's so powerful. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I just prayed and I said, okay, God, you're with me. Help me. And then when I picked up that harness handle for the first time, I was able to do it. And while we only walked 7 or 8 blocks that first day, it was an amazing experience of knowing, okay, I can do this again. Now, the reality is changes come whether we want them to or not. Some are unwelcome, like we've been talking about. There's unwelcome changes, the loss of a spouse, loss of a loved one, a close friend, a family member, things that just happen that you weren't necessarily even expecting, or things that happen in your own health. You get that diagnosis that you never wanted to hear those words. Or something happens in your workplace, your job, your employment, your career is going in a direction you didn't want. A financial hit that goes beyond your comprehension. Those difficult changes can be really tough on us, but so too can be the ones we welcome, the ones we've planned for, the ones we've prayed about, the ones we've prepared for. Sometimes you go through changes like that and you get to the edge of this new adventure, this new job, this new place, and you're kind of intimidated, you're kind of afraid and overwhelmed and going, I don't know if I can do this. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't know if I can handle this new role, this new reality in my life. Changes are always tough. But as Christians, we have a choice. We have a choice. God has given us His Spirit, and He's given us everything we need to be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or discouraged, to remember that the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. And to make a choice to step out in those moments with courage, with strength, and know that God is with us. That's the example we see from Joshua. It's a great passage that some of you may be familiar with out of Joshua 1. If you look with me at this text, Joshua 1:1-9, It's a great text about a man of God who gets a little overshadowed by his predecessor, Moses. And I think that's part of his struggle. If you remember, Joshua, in this first few verses, God has to sort of announce, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he has to say, Joshua, it's time to lead. Time to lead is verses 1 through 2 in chapter 1 there, if you'd look at that point with me. Time to lead. Time to lead. Now, that announcement would not have been a surprise to Joshua. The end of Deuteronomy 31 tells us that Moses knew his time was coming to pass on. He had prepared very well. The entire nation of Israel knew that Joshua was going to be his successor. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses actually says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. You're going to follow me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. He said very similar words to this. Yahweh himself commissioned Joshua in Deuteronomy 31 as the next leader. And Joshua had been preparing probably for decades. Probably for decades. We know that Joshua was Moses' assistant. He worked very closely with Moses for many, many years as Moses led the people in the wilderness. Joshua was right by his side. We think that Joshua was there present for some of those encounters that Moses had with Yahweh even. That Joshua was his helper, his right-hand man, if you will. He was a young, successful general. We know that from Exodus 17. He led the Israelite army successfully against the Amalekites because he listened to Moses. And Moses told him what God had said to do, and Joshua did it. He worked with Moses very closely, was mentored, was trained, was equipped, was encouraged. But that's a lot different than being the guy. Being the one in the on-deck circle is a lot different than being the one that's up to bat. Now Joshua is flying without a net. He has no Moses around. It's a totally different reality to be prepared, mentored, trained, even for decades. That's a different place than all of a sudden now you're the one in charge of this reality, of these millions of people. God even says, it's time to lead these people, the Israelites. Just in case, Joshua, you thought it might be some other people, you know, you thought you might get away from these crazy ones that you have to lead. Nope, these people, the Israelites. It's time for you to lead them into the promised land. Joshua, you're up. That's a way different reality than what he had experienced the previous years of his life. If you remember, Joshua was one of those 12 that Moses sent into the promised land to scout out the territory. He's one of the 12 spies. He and Caleb were the only two that came back with positive reports. The other 10 were afraid and said, there are giants in the land and we can't do this. Caleb and Joshua were the ones that had faith and said, yes, we can. With God's help, we can take this land. God's given us this land. We can do it. But the people chose to fear and as a result spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That whole time, Joshua was by Moses' side, helping him as he led these stiff-necked people through those difficult years. So Joshua, I remind you, is not some wet-behind-the-ears rookie here. He's most likely in his 60s. He's most likely even older than that. The reality is when he went into the land the first time, he was in his 20s, most likely. 40 years has passed. So he's not some, you know, kid. He's an experienced man of God, but yet he needs to be told these things that we come across in this passage. Now, I find that so interesting, and I think the waiting sometimes would deteriorate him, and I think that happens a lot. See, I am a student of history. I love studying history, and especially recently I've been into British history. Think about the monarchy in Great Britain, if you would, for a minute. The current monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, she became the queen when her father passed away on February 6th, 1952. 1952. She has been Queen of England longer than Pastor Bob has been alive. Just yesterday, Pastor celebrated his 65th birthday. She's reigned for just about 65 years and 8 months. Amazing when you think about it. When she became queen, she had a 3.5-year-old son named Charles. Soon after, he was made Prince of Wales, but for the moment, February 6, 1952, he was next in line. He's been next in line. He's been the on-deck circle for 66 years. Think about that for a second. He's been waiting in the on-deck circle that whole time, knowing he's next in line. Now, there's even a lot of speculation that he may never be the King of England because he may abdicate to his son, Prince William. So all those years of waiting, all those years, Joshua had that same experience. Even more so, because he knew what was ahead for him. It was certainty. He was going to be the leader of these crazy people. So is there any wonder that God has to commission him and make this official challenge, this calling him up to this new role here in Joshua 1? So if you look with me at verses 3 through 5, God has to reaffirm some powerful promises. He powerfully reaffirms some promises to Joshua, and he says something very important there in verse 3. He says, all of those promises I made to Moses, Joshua, I'm confirming and affirming that I'm making them to you as well. The same promises I made to Moses, I'm making to you, Joshua. That's a huge reality. Because Joshua knew the relationship that Moses had with God. He knew all about it. So it's important for him to hear what God says here. That everywhere your foot falls in the new land, in the promised land, everywhere you should step, I have given that to you, to my people. I have already provided it. It is secure. The inheritance is secure. From Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to you to the people, this land will be yours. It's the promised land. So everywhere your footsteps, I have secured that. From the far eastern boundary of the Euphrates River to the western Great Sea. Now, the Hebrew doesn't say Mediterranean Sea, but your English translations help you with that. From the mountains of Lebanon to the Negev Desert, I have given you this land. So in other words, it's secure. You don't have to worry about it. And oh, by the way, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. In the same way I was with Moses, in the same relationship I had with Moses, so shall I be your God and your friend. See, Joshua had watched as Moses had a very unique relationship with God, a very special relationship. Yes, Yahweh God was God of Moses, and Moses at times fell on the ground and worshipped and was overwhelmed by God's glory. But at other times, the scripture tells us, Moses spoke to Yahweh like he was a friend. They spoke as friends. They had a relationship. They had a rapport. They had a dialogue. God and Moses spent time talking and talking and talking, and they communed together, and Moses had this close relationship with Yahweh, and Joshua witnessed that. And what God is saying is, Joshua, that's going to be for you as well. It's not just for Moses. It's going to be for you as well. I'm going to have the same type relationship with you, Joshua. And you notice verse 5? I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Think about how reassuring that was for Joshua. That Yahweh would never fail him and never abandon him. In other words, I'm never going to let you hanging out there on your own, Joshua. Just like I was always there for Moses, I'm going to always be there for you as well. Now, I love that because the God of the universe, the great, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing Yahweh, is Joshua's friend and is making this personal promise to him as well. I will never fail you. As you lead my people, as you do my will, I will never abandon you. Did you catch that? The personal nature of our God. See, that's an amazing reality to me. I love that. The old song we used to sing in the Saturday night service, that he knows my name. He knows my every thought. And I love that. I love that reality, that God of the universe is a personal God as well and knows my name and knows my every thought. Now, just for fun, a number of years ago, as the intro for a sermon, I Googled myself just to see how my name turned up, you know? I found that there were at least 30 Brian Ralstons running around this planet. That's a scary thought when you think about it. There were at least 30 men with my name out there. And I thought to myself, okay, well, God knows my name. He knows my individuality. Just like I have individual fingerprints and unique voice print, so too is my soul unique. Those guys may have my name, but I have a unique soul that God very much knows and treasures. That's a reality for all of us. That's why we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus through the Spirit and connecting us to the Father, because God has designed us each very unique qualities. We each have a unique soul. And the reality is that's why God doesn't have any grandchildren. God doesn't have any spiritual grandchildren. If you think about it, each and every one of us have to come to Jesus, accept him as Savior and Lord, accept his payment for our sins, and become a child of God. We then cannot pass that on to someone else who becomes the grandchild of God. Each person has to decide for themselves. That's part of the plan, because each one of us is unique, and each one of us has a special place in God's heart. God cares for each and every one of his creations. This unique relationship with Joshua is going to be similar to Moses. He's going to provide everything that Joshua needs, but it's going to be unique to Joshua because Joshua has different struggles. As you notice, starting in verse 6, Joshua needs to be challenged, called up to be strong and courageous. You'll see it three times in the next few verses. Joshua, be strong and courageous. I mean, can you blame him with what he's facing? You want me to succeed Moses, follow Moses, the guy who was raised in Pharaoh's household, trained up as Pharaoh's brother, then had to flee Egypt, and for 40 years was in the desert, learning how to live in the desert, how to lead sheep in the desert and care for them. Gee, did that prepare him to lead the people in the desert? Then he went back to Egypt, confronted Pharaoh, was the man who stood before the Almighty Pharaoh and talked about the Almighty Yahweh, Almighty God. Went head to head in the battle with the Egyptian gods, and he won. Moses won. He got to say in that great Charles Heston voice, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh did let the people go. And remember, the Red Sea, that was kind of spectacular. So Joshua has to follow that guy. So no wonder he needs to be confirmed that he is special to Yahweh, that Yahweh will be with him every step. Verses 6 through 8, if you notice, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, the scripture says. And I love it when the scripture gives a command, because it always tells us how to obey that command. You'll see it here. He says, be strong and courageous. You need to step up and lead my people. And in order to do that, you need to be careful to follow the instructions Moses gave you. In other words, you need to be careful and learn and follow everything that Moses wrote down and shared with you. You need to obey it. You need to obey it. Now, what's most likely being talked about there is the book of Deuteronomy. Moses wrote that out, and so Joshua has the law. He has what God gave to Moses. He now has a copy of that himself. He's to know that. He's to intentionally be very carefully pursuing what that says and learning it so he can obey it. Learning it because he can obey it. Verse 8 says he is to study it. He is to study the instructions. He is to meditate on it day and night. The NIV there says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. In other words, keep it ever present in your mouth. You speak it, you read it, you share it out loud, you meditate on it. And the word meditate could mean chew on, think about, ponder, reflect. That's what you do with the word that Moses has given Joshua. So that's essentially the scriptures, the book of Deuteronomy and maybe other writings. The writings of Moses is what Joshua had. He's to learn those and be so intentional about it that he'll know it, so much so that he speaks it, so that it's a part of his life, so that then he can carefully obey every proviso of that. If you notice the progression there, he is to study it constantly. He is to meditate on it constantly, and that's the way he'll know how to obey it. That's the way he'll have the strength to obey it. That's the way he'll be able to obey, is because he'll know it so very well. And by doing this, there's a promise given there, isn't there? When you obey the command, you're showed how to obey the command. When you do that, you'll be successful. Now, success in the way God defines it, not the way the world defines it. But Joshua, you're going to have success because you're going to be obeying what I have told you. Through Moses, I have given you instruction. You will be obeying that. You'll be then successful. That's the reality for us too. God's given us something called the Bible. We have basic instructions before leaving earth. We have the Bible. We have the instructions we need. We just have to obey it. We have to carefully study it and meditate on it and hear it and learn it and speak it, and then we have to obey it. And so often, when I talk with people, when I examine myself, the moments when I'm discouraged and the moments when I'm afraid are usually caused by one of two things. I'm either not in the Word of God, I'm not studying it, I'm not learning it, or I'm not doing it. It's one or the other, usually. I'm either away from the Scriptures, I've disconnected for some reason, and I am not in the Bible, or I'm not obeying it. I'm not doing it. That's why I'm struggling with anxiety and fear. It's why I'm struggling with being discouraged. The key is always for us to be strong and courageous, first by obeying the Word of God. Then we get to verse 9, all by itself, this command. The command says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, notice that's a command and not a suggestion. This is not an optional thing that, if you want to be strong and courageous, go ahead. If you don't, that's fine. No, it's a command. Because God knows what's best for us. So he commands us to be strong and courageous, to use the spirit we've been given, to use the word we've been given, to go forward with courage and strength. Now, most of you will think, well, I'm not courageous. You know, I'm not going to lead a people or conquer a land or do. No, sometimes courage is just getting out of bed in the morning. Sometimes it takes courage just to leave your home. Sometimes it does take courage to face that person you don't want to face, or go through that difficult meeting you don't want to go to, or go to that doctor's appointment. Those things take a lot of courage. Those things take courage. Don't allow the struggles of life to drag you down into discouragement and fear. We don't have to live there. As Christians, we have a choice. See, I think as humans, our default settings are often discouragement and fear. If you read the newspaper, if you watch the news, if you look at your phone, how can you help but being discouraged and afraid right now? But that's our humanness. That's not where God wants us to stay. God calls us up, just like Joshua. He's calling us into a new relationship with him where we don't have to be discouraged and afraid. We can be strong and courageous. We can be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with us every step of the way. So today, what are you facing? What challenges are you facing? What changes have come in your life? Maybe they're welcome, maybe they're unwelcome, and you're just feeling a bit overwhelmed. Are you sliding into that discouragement and that fear that so easily can happen? And are you willing to trust God enough to get in his word, to meditate on it, to learn it, to study it, to live in it, to be around those who will help you to do that, and to be strong and courageous as your choice every day? As part of the application, I have a challenge. Pastor's been challenging us the last few weeks to memorize some scripture. So Joshua 1:9 would be a great verse to memorize, knowing that that lays it out pretty clearly, that God is calling you up, like Joshua, to not live in discouragement and fear, but to be strong and courageous, knowing that he's with you every step of the way. So this week, give that a try. Write that on a card. Keep that in front of you all week long and memorize that one verse. I think you'll find that the more you spend time in his word, the more you learn it and grow in it, I think you'll find that it's easier to be strong and courageous each and every day. So this morning as we close, would you pray with me? And I remind you that this whole reality, we walk in God's presence and God's power and God's strength and not our own. So as we pray, would you bow with me? Lord, we thank you for the reality that we don't have to go it alone, that we know that the battle belongs to you, Lord, that you've already gone ahead of us, that you've already surrounded us with provision and with help. Even when we feel overwhelmed and feel like you're not there and feel like things are out of control, that's not the reality, Lord. We know that you love us, that you are in control, and that somehow you've already provided for us, even through those difficult times. Help us, Lord, to not live in discouragement or fear, but to be strong and courageous, knowing you are with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.